Hey, this is Phil. Today on the podcast, Andrew and Luke talk to Brian and Jamie Thiessen, who are giving leadership to our trauma-informed parenting conference. We'd love for you to be there, but this is some background and we hope you enjoy the conversation.
Hi, and welcome to the Flipside Podcast, where we discuss the underbelly of Crestview Bible. I'm joined here by our international partner, Luke, and we have some special guests, which I'll let Luke intro for us.
Yeah, so you guys might have heard when we announced on Sunday, Jamie came up and talked about this new conference that we're hosting. And so we thought, okay, she got a few minutes up in front of you all, but that's not enough to talk about what is really on her heart. And so we brought Jamie in here, and Brian is somewhere in the background. You'll hear him chuckle, I'm sure, at some point.
He may contribute.
Right. And you might also hear other things in the background because we're recording this during Crestview Kids. So if you hear like kids screaming in the background, be patient with us.
All's well. Those aren't terrified screams.
We're not torturing kids on our off time. But yeah, so tell us a little bit more about what is this conference? When is it? Why are we hosting it? Well, I just gave you way too many questions to try to answer at once. But first of all, What is the conference and when is it?
Okay, so the conference is called Hope for the Journey, and it's the second year under that name. It used to be called Empowered to Connect. And it's put on by Stephen Curtis Chapman and his foundation called
The West Young Man.
Show Hope.
Saddle your horses.
So it's been around for a while. And Brian and I did this conference for the first time when we were waiting to adopt before Presley joined our family. And really, it was a whole new way of thinking for me. Like, Brian and I had done several parenting classes with our bio kids, and this came in kind of from left field for us. So it took me a while to kind of figure it out and get behind it.
So you were a little lost at the beginning.
I was a little bit lost because it talks about things like the different parts of your brain, which I know nothing about.
You're not a brain surgeon?
I'm not a brain surgeon. Nope, not even close. Different parts of your brain, different ways to interact with your kids. We grew up in the, you guys probably know this, what is it? The obey the, all the way, the first time with a happy heart. That's the way that we grew up, and that's the way that we parented our kids. And so this was different. This had like things like redos and compromises and
time ins
instead of time outs. So it took
What's a time in?
So we used this with one of our kiddos that came to us through foster care. Actually, because of neglect. So to put her in a timeout, separate her from the rest of the family would be very traumatic for her. And we learned this the hard way because we put her in timeouts like we had done with our other kids. And
yeah, it would be where we would send her, we'd send her to her room. So we're like, okay, go to your room. And it was the biggest meltdown ever. And we're like, my word, what is going on? But it was, she came into care because of neglect. So when we would send her away where she couldn't see us, it just caused the biggest meltdown ever. So a time in was, okay, you need to go sit right there. If we're in the kitchen and she has a, you know, and something was to happen, she'd just have to sit right there to where she can still see us, but she still knows that that was a consequence for an action.
Yeah. So it was difficult. I mean, and it's still difficult for us. That's why we're coming to the conference learning right alongside of all of you, because it's something that we're still working on in our home.
Yeah. So there's a generation, like you said, our generation and the generation before that had a certain parenting method. And they, from what I remember, it was like, this is the biblical model, right? This is what God says prescribed to do, right? So are you saying that this is anti-biblical?
No, not at all. And I think something that we, you know, have learned through this is like, in order for us to better meet our kids and love our kids and point them to Jesus, we need to know like how to better meet their needs. And so this is one way that we're trying to do that and trying to learn. And like, for example, I was listening last week and this like stuck out to me, but it talked about the brain, which I'm learning a little bit about the upstairs brain and the downstairs brain. And the upstairs brain is like where your emotions are. And so if, and your logic and reasoning, I hope I'm getting that right. I might be flipping them. But anyways, for kids that have been through trauma, sometimes their staircase is cluttered or disconnected. Mm-hmm. So if we trigger them or something, you know, traumatic happens and they flip their lid and they're out of control and we say, go sit in your room until you've figured it out. Well, there's a disconnect because that staircase is cluttered. Mm-hmm. And so there's like this conference kind of helps us to learn like some different ways to help to come alongside them. Like, you know what, we're going to sit with you in this big meltdown and we're here for you and we're going to work through this together. So that was something that stuck out to me just recently that I heard like, oh, no wonder.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he's flipped his lid and he doesn't have the coping skills to regulate that. So some of the things that we'll be learning are like some different principles and things to try with things like that.
Just hearing you talk, it seems like there's a very broad... you can come from a broad background. You don't have to be the expert on child care to get something from this conference. But if you are the expert, you might just develop those skills even more, where you have been to a couple conferences already and have this knowledge, but I'm sure you're planning to get a lot out of this upcoming weekend.
Yeah, I'm super excited. And I feel like it's good for anybody that works with people. I mean, if you're interacting with people, like we don't always know everyone's stories, but everyone has a story and has different backgrounds. And so this, like the principles of TBRI, that stands for trust-based relational intervention. And the three principles are to connect first and then correct and empower. So we're trying to first connect with our kids, correct and teach, and then empower them so that they have the skills, you know, that they need to be successful. And so I feel like it's just kind of a different approach than like what we were raised in.
Would you, as I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, is this the way that God interacts with his children, right? So he connects with us, right? Mm-hmm. Connecting in terms of he incarnates.
Right,
so
right.
Jesus incarnated, right. Making that connection. He took on flesh, mm-hmm. and then he corrects us, right? He gently corrects. Right. And what was the other C?
Connecting, correcting, and then empowering.
Empowering. Oh, it wasn't another C. I'm looking for another C.
Close. Right. Come
you're
on, quite.
Are you getting the three points for your next sermon? Right. Like, oh, I got it.
And then, but then he does. He empowers us by his spirit. Right. So like I can just see even through that, like through a gospel centered lens, like this is how God deals with his children and how we can imitate our Father with us.
Right.
So how beautiful is that to be able to learn through that lens? And I think if I'm not mistaken, we talked about this before, that there is the last session or one of the last sessions is the gospel and TBRI.
Exactly.
And I think that's put on by the David Platt. So he's one of my favorite guys.
He is one of the speakers at the conference for one of the sessions. So
yeah. So and that'll just take another level, another deeper level into. I guess what I was saying, my concern is, man, is this just like a secular philosophy? Is this just some gobbledygook, psychobabble kind of stuff? But no, like they're like it's helping making those connections and being with them in that moment, so that the gospel can be clear,
right?
Because of some things that are going on in the brain. So
right.
How cool is that?
Yeah. And I think it is a good picture of like for us to be able to love our kids or other children that we know the way that Christ is loving us. Like he's patient and he's gentle and he's lowly and he's kind. Initially in our parenting, the first time obedience with a happy heart, it's like, you just do what I say because I'm the parent and you're the child. And it's really great if it works like that, but sometimes it doesn't, especially if you have kiddos coming from a hard place that have a background of trauma. And like we mentioned on church on Sunday, like that can look a whole lot of different ways, but we know that the brain is not done developing until you're 25 to 30 years old. So if any of these things are taking place while your brain is still developing, so from in the womb through 25, like that's going to impact how you respond and react. And so that can look like, you know, a baby separated from her mom because the baby has to stay in the ICU, or of course foster or adoption, or maybe a natural disaster like you lost your home into a tornado.
Mm-hmm.
All of those things are going to impact the brain, and so we can learn how to better respond, you know, to people and love them through that.
Yeah, right.
Instead of being frustrated.
Yeah,
we could still be frustrated. I'm still frustrated some days.
Well, Brian, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, Jamie's pretty much touching on anything I would say. It we've definitely used a lot of it, you know, in our house just with going to the conference. Even when we started with adoption and foster care was, you know, the biggest was, you know, they teach you and they kind of train you on building attachment and, you know, getting that bond, which, you know, we're, you know, as a, when I don't want to say as your bio kid, but you know, the way that we raised our kids was, you know, we put them to bed and you know, they cry it out. Well, you know, when they, you know, when a child, when you do, when a child comes to you through adoption or through foster care, the biggest thing is you want to build trust and build the bond with them. So in the middle of the night when they're crying, or if they're in the nursery and they're crying, it's very important for the worker to come get you, because they need to know if I cry that you're going to come fill my need. You're going to come meet my need. I need to know that you're there. And so, because that the bond of like, just say from adoption, even if you adopt at birth, well, the trust, the bond that they had was broken right at birth,
right away,
because
yeah.
they had the trust with their birth mom. And now that's not there. So now they need to build that with somebody else. And so you're working on building that trust and that attachment with them. And they need to know, if I cry, you're going to be there. You know, I can trust you. I can depend on you. And so that was probably our first, you know, start with it, you know, and it, and since then, just like we'd shared with the time in it, we do use a lot, and there's a, it's been incredible for us. It, it's the learning. I mean, almost anybody can get anything out of this conference. Mm-hmm.
I know one of your hearts and one of your passions is for, at Crestview, is for the children workers to go through this. How do you feel like it would help someone who's working at Crestview Kids or working Sunday school or children's church? How would it help someone like that?
Sure. So I think like Crestview does such a great job of loving on people.
Absolutely.
I mean, Crestview has surrounded our family many of times and loved us really, really well. And I think this is just another great way that you can encourage families, that you can support kiddos. And then, you know what, if we're using certain verbiage and language at home and they come to church and they're hearing that same, it just reinforces. Mm-hmm. We actually just had something similar like this happen in the school, and I was so encouraged. Like we talked to the kids and we talked about doing compromises, which is something that this class teaches, and it was not natural for me because I just say like, just, you know, go to bed, like we don't need to compromise, just get your buns in bed. But the idea was that, you know, it gives your child a voice. And if your child comes to you and they're asking you respectfully, hey, mom, can I have a compromise? Like my ear is already turned on.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before, if they're coming to me in a meltdown on the floor, kicking their feet, screaming at me because so-and-so took their toys, I'm like, listen, I'm overwhelmed. Peace out. Mm-hmm. I can't even tune in. So we had this conversation of like, this is how this can work. And you can say, mom, can I have a compromise? And I can say, sure, what's your compromise? And then they can ask for what they need respectfully, and then I have a choice to say yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
And so it teaches them that they can use their words and they have a voice. Also, it teaches them how to accept no, because sometimes the answer is still no. And so we were going through this and we were explaining it, and they were like, oh, mom, we already know this. We do this in school. And I was like, oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Because it's like it's carrying over. And so then it, you know, it just concretes that idea more, and they feel more supported and more heard.
And sometimes those compromises are, I mean, it's just small. Like, you know, we have one of our girls. I mean, she comes up almost every time after we put her to bed. She comes running back up the stairs. You're like, oh my goodness, here we go. But it's always like, Dad, can I have a compromise? Okay, what's that? Dad, I just a lot of the time, Dad, can I just get one more hug? That's all it is. And I'm like, is it that big of a deal to give her one more hug? It's fine. You know, I love it. I thrive on it. And so I'm like, yes.
Right.
I'm like, you're not really compromising anything. She just likes to say the word. And so,
yeah, can I have a compromise? I think Malia asked for a compromise more than anybody else. Mama, can I have a compromise? I'm like, oh gosh, here we go.
That's a big word for a 3-year-old.
It is big. And I mean, another, like, I was on a phone conversation with a TBRI practitioner, and she said, you can also use it sometimes if you can catch a meltdown before it's like totally, you know, huge. And so we were at breakfast one morning, and this is like my life. The table is set and one of our kiddos comes out, you can probably guess, not happy about the color of cup that is sitting at his spot. It was the wrong color. It may have been Vaughn, or maybe wasn't Vaughn. And I just remembered in that instant, like, oh, wait, hey, buddy, it seems like you may want to ask for a compromise. And he immediately was like, no, I don't. I'm mad. And he slammed his head on the table. And I said, okay, that's fine. But if you decide you would like to ask for a compromise, all you have to do is ask in a voice that is nice with your big kid words. And he sat there for like a minute and then said, hey, Mom, can I ask for a compromise? And I said, sure, buddy, what's your compromise? And he said, instead of the blue cup, could I please have the green cup that his sister had? And I said, well, you know, it sounds logical to me. Why don't you try asking your sister? And then I'm thinking, oh, Lord, please have her say yes.
Yeah, right.
But he asked her, instead of this cup, could I trade you for the green? And she said, sure, they both have milk. And they swapped their cups.
That's sweet.
And so it's like, it's not a huge deal. It's not rocket science, but it gives you some tools that can help you to like feel like you're making some progress and you're connecting with your kids. Mm-hmm. In that instance, it kept him from flipping his lid entirely in a 20-minute meltdown and encouraged him to use his words. Then him and I connected through it. It's just a better option rather than sending your kids off to school screaming in the middle of a fit. It's just, for us, it's more and more about connecting. Like, how can we connect with these kids? How do we let them know that we're on their team?
Mm-hmm.
You're not in this alone. I know you've lost your mind. That's okay. I'm going to sit here with you and we'll figure this out together. And I think that's like an accurate picture of what Jesus does for us. Mm-hmm. Like, we've been at our lowest lows before, I feel like. And the church in Christ is with us there. It's not like he's turning his back on us when we're struggling.
Mm-hmm.
And our kids struggle.
Oh, absolutely. We strive to meet them where they're at and walk through it with them not pull them out of it, but we walk through the valley with them. And so that's what's been just, I mean, life changing for us. I mean, especially just getting into the whole adoption and foster, world. And so, and it's been great. And so, but it's been great.
Well, that's why I hear your heart, your passion to want to get children workers in here. And I want to say this is not just so that children workers can deal with the Teason kids, right? but there's others, right, in our church that have ACEs, which is the adverse childhood effects, right? And so there's others in our church that you might not be aware of. There's always new families that are coming in, and we don't know what their stories are.
Right.
And then there's also, another reason I'm passionate for hosting this conference here is because I know that there are people in our body who work with students, right? Work not only with young kids, but with teens, right? Mm-hmm. There are people in our body that work in the school system. There are people in our body that have regular interactions with children. So I want to equip them. I want to equip them in their work, in their service, not just here in the church, but out there in society and in their workplaces. But then also, like, I want us to be equipped for the mission, right? Mm-hmm. So there are kids in our community that need loved on, that need cared for, that need to have connections and relationships. And my dream is always that our doors would be wide open. At Crestview Kids, I want Crestview Kids to be flooding with unchurched kids that come from the worst of the worst backgrounds, and we can be able to effectively love on them. And I think that this training is just taking us, I don't think it's going to solve all of our problems.
For sure.
But it's taking us a step there, right?
Right. So, and it's giving us some great tools to use. And I think, like, one thing, like you're saying, like, we're going to host VBS. We've done summer nights before. We invite the community. Well, if we're going to do all these things, we want to be equipped, like you're saying, to meet them where they're at and to help them to know the love that Jesus has for them. So I think that's something that's like, I'm passionate about too. Like, we can have all these programs, that's great, but if we're not able to meet kids where they are and help them to walk through this hard stuff, like, that's tough too. So
right. So as we wrap up, can you give us one more time just the logistics? So what are the dates, the timings, all
sure.
that?
Sure. So Friday, May 5th from 8 to 2:30, and we're gonna have breakfast and lunch for you. And free meals. But we also need to know that you're coming so we have enough food. And then Saturday from 8 to noon.
Yeah. Okay. And
Saturday the 6th.
And even if they don't RSVP, they can still come.
You can still come. And even
we will just offer up our praise to God and, you know, the pass around the loaves and the fish
and hope it duplicates.
Yes. Yes.
Hopefully something multiplies. But yes,
you can't
still
come to all of it. Like, come to the parts that you can, because there's still going to be things that apply that you can use in your homes or in your jobs or in the community.
Yeah, if you miss a day, it's not like you're going to come in day two and you're lost because you missed the first day. It's different sessions, and so while it would be great to make all of them, if you miss half of it on Friday and can come for the second half, you're not going to, it'll still be all session driven. So you're not going to walk in lost.
And I think we said there were 60 books, but that's not a cap for how many people we can share books. We can, we'll figure it out. There's no cap on this.
We'll make photocopies. We have a printer.
Yeah, that's right. And I don't think there's an age either. I had a student ask me, 17 year old, and I was like, yeah, you should come. If you want, if you're free, you should be there because I want to be there.
Yeah.
I'm going to be there. Yeah. I think it's really healthy. So, well, thanks so much for joining us. And thank you, listener, for joining us on the conversation on the flip side. We'll hope to catch you next time.